Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. I don't think that's working.
We'll just pick the outro part.
Let's go back.
Go back to the
There he goes. Okay. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I hope everyone's doing well this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? Any first-time visitors? No. Okay. If we could, let's take let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts and minds for worshiping. Bow your heads. Amen. Do we have any announcements this morning?
You'll see in the announcements, next Saturday, my wife and I are celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. Even though it's past, but we put it off until next Saturday. There is a little change from what's in the bulletin. The phone number to call is 450-5168. In the bulletin it says 4168, but it's 51. That's not necessary. Just come on, show up.
Congratulations. Any other announcements? Okay. Well, good. We're glad she's back home, Michael. I have one announcement about our Easter egg hunt. The Easter egg hunt is going to be on the Saturday before Easter, which I believe will be April the 23rd. And we need candy, we need plastic eggs, to hide for the hunt. So if you'd like to bring something to donate for that, we'll try to get a basket and put in the hall. I think that's what we usually do. But either you could see myself or Deborah Eckerd with donations for the Easter egg hunt. Wonderful news. Any other announcements? Okay, Ken. I was going to say, come on.
All right, what we're going to watch here real quick, if Dave will bring it up. I should say before she starts it, some of you may not have known that Nolan was in the Philippines playing with the Bethel University Renaissance Quartet. And he was actually in a hotel in Manila when the tsunami went past their hotel. So Debbie and I had a really interesting weekend. But knowing that he was flying to Japan was a little tough, not knowing had he left yet or whatever. So anyway, he made it home safely, just to cut to the chase, I guess. And we appreciate a lot of you we were in contact with and prayed that they would get home safely. They had it was a tough time, but they did good work over there. And this is it's the only video we have from that week, but I'm going to show the video and then a quick slide. I thought it might be appropriate during announcement time to do that. But thank you for your prayers, and just remember that, God is good. And anyway, here's the song, I Believe.
Can they turn the lights out so it doesn't, on the back, so it doesn't...
Yeah.
And wins.
and the Christ who slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For every change should be completely a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay and die.
Yes, Teresa.
I don't know what I've said, but Lewis is in Japan right now. He's there for the earthquake. He's not in the most devastated place, but he's 50 miles southwest of Tokyo. He's safe for now. There's still concerns about the development, but he can.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. I did. Debbie had told me that. I apologize for that. Sorry, I can't be here and there. Obviously, this is in the Philippines, and they played for thousands of kids at public schools, and then in the evening they would play for the area churches. And I can get the roll.
You must have sat into that. Where is she supposed to point us?
At the projector, I think. You may have to go over there. And I'll be honest, I really don't know what to say about all these pictures other than they're in the Philippines, and these are but it was just great that, you know, in our country, I think it's a little tough to get a group like that, you know, in the schools during school time. So my understanding is they had a lot of access to the public school kids, and they got to hear some really good messages. So they did have one unexpected thing. Autographs and all that kind of stuff was a little weird for Nolan. He said, you know, and I explained to him, I said, it's okay. Whether it's autograph seekers or people who have no idea what the gospel is about, however they react to you, your job is to tell them the truth. Whether they're screaming at you or staring at you in disbelief, just keep telling the, you know, bring the gospel to them. So they did that. And there's a big sign that says, say no to drugs on the wall, if you see. Some of bananas or something. And they weren't able to take any gear. So whatever they got is what they got. So they show up and Nolan has a little electronic kit. And so, but it was a wonderful experience for him. And they're still on tour next weekend and the week after, I think. So at some point I'll have him come in and be a little more coherent about what happened out there. And this was inside one of the area churches, I believe. As you can see, there's like, you know, a couple of thousand kids, so that's a... You have to turn your head sideways. This is one of their flyers, obviously. Another bonus is I don't know how many of you get on Facebook. Everybody has a different opinion about, well, Facebook bad, Facebook good. But without it, we'd had no contact with Nolan at all. So we were grateful for that. And a lot of these kids hundreds of them have added all these boys as their friends on Facebook. So now they have an extended period of time to continue to tell them about Jesus, you know, so... It's just really awesome. So keep them in your prayer and the people that they talk to in your prayers.
Who's that fellow right there?
That's that drummer boy. I think that's Manila right there. And you see them praying there? They did a lot of praying when the tsunami went past. And this is a hard thing to say, but as a parent, Debbie and I were on. Of course, Debbie just had surgery, so she's, and her grandmother's ill, so she's had a tough weekend. So keep her in your prayers also, but. I'm not sure what that's about, but I'll ask him about that later. But the boys were kind of in their hotel room, and the sirens were going off, and Nolan was Skyping, if you aren't familiar with Skyping, with a friend. And so for 45 minutes, his friend just looked at this blank wall, and he didn't know if Nolan was okay, because Nolan was gone, hiding wherever they went. And the boys all got in a huddle and were praying, and they weren't really sure if they were going to see the next day, so... That's a hard thing to hear, you know, but God kept them safe and got them back, and I think we're pretty close to the end here, but just keep that whole situation in your prayer, and of course, Lewis, keep him in your prayers, and all the people in Japan, because obviously it's not over for them, they've got more things to do there, and I appreciate you letting me take the time to show these things, You know, Nolan is really not just my son. He's part of this body and part of your family too. So I wanted to share that with you. And I thank you.
No idea.
The men's fellowship will meet next Saturday. Is that correct? Men's fellowship will meet next Saturday at Tommy Markham's house to
we'll
have
a. Meet here for breakfast.
Okay. Meet here for breakfast and then go to Tommy's for a work day. So, any other announcements? If we will at this time come forward to light our candles, and then we will have prayer requests or praise requests. Any prayer concerns this morning other than the ones from Japan? Michael? Okay. Continue to pray for Michael's mother. Any others?
Could I ask for prayer for Debbie Hatfield?
Yes, certainly. And continue to pray for Debbie. She is feeling better, but she still needs our prayers. Any other prayer concerns? Okay. If you'll please at this time stand for our prayer. Brother Jonathan's going to come forward.
Let us pray. Great God, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, for this day. For this time to intercede for our friends and our family and those that we care about and are concerned about. And Father, we ask for your watch and Lord, Father, for your hand of grace and mercy in their lives today. Father, for your hand that heals and delivers and that keeps us safe, Father. We give you praise and glory and ask that you would just be glorified in the lives of each one as we're lifting them up today. Lord, do your mighty works in their life. We give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. And we look forward to hearing those praises. And Father, for those that we've heard this morning, we do give you praise and glory. We ask now, Lord, that you would help us to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. Father, we ask that you bring light to your word, revelation in our hearts and our lives. Lord, may this be a day of discovery and a day, Lord, in which we would be pleasing to you as we offer our praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Now we ask that you would help us to pray as your disciples, as you have taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now if you'll join me for a call to worship. Let all the ends of the earth return to God.
We give glory to God, who is worthy of praise.
Let all the families of the world worship God.
We praise the Lord, who promises life to all.
Let all the people of God rejoice together.
We worship and adore our God.
Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Ephesians 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20.
Yeah.
Let's continue to worship and praise God. I just came to praise the Lord.
Confession. God of promise, we come as your people, rejoicing in the abundance of your love. Give us faith to answer your call. Strengthen us to hope against hope, Guide us into a deep and abiding trust. Lead us on a journey toward wholeness, that we may become your holy people, faithfully doing your will. Our prayer of confession is in silence today, so at this time, we'll have our prayer. Amen. Our words of assurance, those who risk their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ will inherit the world. And our offertory sentence, know the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. If our ushers would please come forward. It's now children's time with Miss Mary Jo. So children, if you'd like to, I'll come forward.
Thank you.
This Sunday is the first Sunday in the Lenten season, and during worship on Wednesday, we had an opportunity to focus on Lent for a few moments during our worship time. And when we were talking about that, we were talking about how many times we will give up something during this season. And that it's really a time of reflection, a time of denial in some ways, but really it's a time to prepare ourselves, to focus on the cross, on maybe those ideas of dying to self and allowing Christ to live through us more readily, you know? And so it can be a great time of renewal and revival in our hearts and our lives. And so we talked to the young people about the fact that they may be thinking about giving something up. But a lot of times when we talk about giving things up for Lent, that's what we do. We talk about it a lot. And I've noticed this over the past few years. I mean, it's like a really big thing that we just talk all the time about what it is we're giving up, and we'll make jokes about it, and we sort of have fun with it and stuff like that. And that's okay. There's nothing really wrong with that. But I was thinking that this year, maybe we should approach it in a little different light. And so if you're giving something up for Lent this season, let's do this one this year in our prayer closet. The scripture talks about, you know, not praying before men, but, you know, God hears you, you know, and sees your prayer, praying in your prayer closet, that kind of thing. Or it talks about not giving your alms before men, but not letting your right hand know what your left hand's giving, that kind of thing. Is that it's more of a thing that we're doing before the Lord. And I think during this Lenten season, if we're going to give up something, whatever it might be, let's do it in that kind of private way. And in that way that we don't really make a show of it or talk about it. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I think kids a lot of times have a lot of fun with that, and we adults do too. But I'm just suggesting that maybe we do it a little differently this year. And that it becomes more of a personal thing for us, between us and the Lord. And that this season of Lent is really about how God may be wanting to change us and challenge us and speak to us. And it doesn't have to be anything that anybody knows about. But, you know, I think we will all know it, because we'll see the changes. You know, it just happens. So I encourage you in that this season, if you're planning on giving something up. Just wanted to mention that. Also, this morning, we're going to be talking. This is our last sermon in this series, the five ingredients of walking in the favor of God. And today we're talking about grace. We're talking about what it means to stand in the grace of God, to walk in His grace. And the scripture that I would like to begin with this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Let's read that one more time, if you don't mind. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? That we have peace with God, that we have right relationship with God, that we have a connection, as we were talking about this morning, with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, I don't know how much we really, or how often we really think about that, because we talk a lot about having the Lord in our heart, and we talk about having a relationship with Jesus. And I just want us to understand that what Jesus did on Calvary opened the way for us to have an intimate, peace-giving, peace-loving, peace-experiencing relationship with the Almighty God of the universe. So when the Scripture says, by the blood of Jesus, we enter into the holiest place of all, it is that by His blood sacrifice, we live in a grace, and we stand in a grace, and we operate in a grace that allows us to come before the Almighty God of the universe. Now I understand Jesus is Almighty God of the universe, but just bear with me for a moment, because I just want us to understand that, you know? I just want us to let that soak in for a moment. That God the Father is saying, I want a relationship with you, and so I sent my Son Jesus to do everything that has to be done so that you can come in, so that I can have a relationship with you, so the Father can love on His children. Isn't that good? Isn't that great news? Amen. Verse 2, through whom, talking about Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith, by that same faith that justifies us, into this grace in which we stand. And so he says we're actually standing in grace. And we have, it's through faith in Jesus, and that faith is a gift, that we're standing in this grace. Now, think of for me, go with me for a moment. Close your eyes for a moment. And just imagine the most beautiful place you've ever seen. You may have been standing on a beach. You may have been standing in Neyland Stadium. You may have been at a crusade. Maybe it was a mountaintop. Or maybe it was just a gentle stream or a pasture out in the field somewhere. Think for a moment about how that made you feel. That beautiful, maybe exhilarating experience, maybe humbling experience. You can open your eyes. You were standing in an experience. You know, you were standing in something beautiful. And that's exactly what it's like to be standing in the grace of God. To be standing in something and experiencing it and all of the wonder and the majesty of it, and yet not being able to fully take it in. You know? That mountaintop experience can be, I think about some of the times maybe when I've been to the Smokies, looking off in the distance on some mountaintop, or maybe when I've been to Fall Creek Falls, standing on one of those ledges. And just, you know, just breathtaking. Those beautiful waterfalls. It's just beautiful. And then there's that ocean experience. I don't know about you, but I'll go down to the water's edge, and I will go stand in the edge of the water, maybe about ankle deep. And I just love the feeling of the sand that sort of moves out from under your feet, and you're just sort of moving there and wading there, and you can see everything, you know? And you move out to about knee high, and it's pretty neat. And you move out maybe to about waist high. And I remember I was out about waist high one time in the ocean, and I saw these, I don't actually know what they're called, those, the flapping wing. No, that's what they are, I guess, stingrays. There was about five of them that just went by my, I saw them. I saw the shadow of them, the silhouette in the underneath. And in a few minutes, they came back by. And then they came by again. And so I went out and went to the lifeguard, and I said, "What's the deal?" He said, "Oh, they're just feeding. That's what they do. They just run up and down the coastline, and they're stirring the water up, and it's stirring up all those little micro organisms or whatever, and they're feeding. They're eating. They're grazing." And then you hear about, you know, that a shark attack can happen, you know, what, 2 feet of water? And you get on out to about chest high, and you can't see your feet anymore. And then, you know, you get out there where maybe a wave comes along, you can't even touch the ground, and that's when you realize, I'm fish food. You know? And but there's just something about it, because it's so, is it not exhilarating? I mean, there's an unknown experience to it. But there's like, it's like, man, this thing is so vast and it's so big, and I'm just in the edge of it. And I think that's how the grace of God is. Okay? I think we stand in the grace of God, and we're experiencing the coolness of it, the refreshing nature of it, and the movement of His grace. And yet, you know, it's scary too. The unknown. And as Christians, I think sometimes we try to find a comfortable place. You know? Maybe we take that little lounge chair and just set it down right in the edge of the water, just so it can just laugh upon us a little bit. And we just sort of feel comfortable right there. Well, let's think about that for a moment as we talk about this grace that we're standing in this morning, that we're experiencing. And I want to talk to you about, for a moment, about the giving principle. There's a principle that's found throughout Scripture that has to do with our giving of ourselves. And I think it has a whole lot to do. I think it's very interconnected with grace and about the movement of grace and about where we stand in that grace. It comes from Corinthians. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Is that right? Verses 6 through 8. But it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Paul's talking to the church about an offering that they're taking up to care for those who are in Jerusalem that are going through a time without. And so they're taking up this offering that they're going to, and they've had time to prepare to give this offering. And so he's encouraging them in this. But what he's saying is true about giving. No matter what you're talking about. It doesn't matter if you're talking about money. It doesn't matter if you're talking about your time, your gifts, your talents, your resources, whatever it is that you have to offer, everything that you could give, the question is, how are you giving it? Are you sowing sparingly sparingly, or are you sowing bountifully? Are you giving of yourself liberally, or are you giving just a little? Are you staying in that comfortable place, or are you getting out of your comfort zone and stepping out into uncharted waters? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. And please don't get hung up on financial giving, because I'm really focusing on every area of giving, of our life's gifts, everything that God's given to us, especially our time and our ability and what we think of as our inability. And a lot of times that's really what holds us back, either that or fear. It's not that we don't want to. It's just scary. But understand this. The thing that we're talking about walking out into, really, is the grace of God. It may be about giving more of my time or more of my talent, being willing to get involved in some area of ministry that I've never been involved in before. And that may seem scary. That may be the uncharted water for us. But you're really talking about diving out into God's grace, stepping out into the deeper waters. You know? Listen to what he says, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What? When? When you become cheerful in your giving, when you become a giver, the more you increase your willingness to give of yourself, he says, I'm going to start to make all grace abound toward you in proportion to how you're giving yourself. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that didn't say that. Yeah, it did. He said, if you give bountifully, look what he said. He said, if you, the very first of that, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Little giving, little grace. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Lot of giving, lot of grace. The grace of God being poured out in our life is connected in some way to our giving of ourselves. And it makes sense, because while we stand in grace, the grace of salvation, and we have access to the throne, the idea is, how often are you going to come to the throne? You can come. The way has been made open through the blood of Jesus, but how often will we approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need? But when we do, when we give of ourselves, he's there every time, even before we ask, already at work, knowing us better than we know ourselves. So, he's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. I've written it down this way. God provides grace for abundance to do ministry. Grace, giving leads to grace, which leads to abundance to do ministry. Amen? I mean, that's good. Giving of ourselves, the willingness to step out into those areas where we can't see the bottom, where we can't see where our next step actually is going to lead us. Will the wave be so high that we'll lose touch with the bottom? What's next after that? I mean, this is a dangerous place to be. In Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel has an experience concerning the temple. And God shows him that there's water flowing out from under the threshold of the temple. And he's watching this water. It's flowing out from under the door, the doorway. How wide's a doorway? I mean, you know, maybe a double doorway. Maybe about as big as the doors leading into our sanctuary. Maybe something like that. That's not a lot of water, is it? But this water kept flowing out, and he kept walking down and seeing that this thing was growing. It was expanding. And finally, he got down to this particular point, and it was like, walk out. And measured out 1,000 cubits and said, walk out here. He walked out, and it was up to his ankles. Measured out another 1,000 cubits, walked out, it was up to his knees. Measured out another 1,000 cubits, and he walked out, and it was up to his waist, and another 1,000, and it was like a river that you would swim in, and it was flow. It had a strong current. And it was so strong that you couldn't cross it, or either it was so wide that you couldn't cross. And then he led him back to the shoreline. And then he said, notice what's going on right here. And the trees were growing, and had fruit on them. And they were bearing their fruit every month. And the fruit was good for food, and the leaves of the fruit were being used to heal people. It was medicine for healing. Man, that is an awesome experience. I could continue with that, but I'll just share that part of it. But, wow. What's he saying? I mean, to me, that is that picture of this grace that's flowing, and he stepped out in it. He got out there to that place where you could swim, and he thought, man, I'm not going any further. What would have happened if he'd just gotten out there in the current? Where does the current of God's river flow? I mean, if you're in His grace, is there really anything to be afraid of? Do you have to worry about the sharks? Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Man, praise God for His goodness. So, what I love about this scripture is that it shows that God is able to do all these things, that God's able to make this grace abound in our life. But it seems to be, I hate to use this word, but somewhat conditional. Again, we stand in the grace of salvation, but there apparently is more grace. Matter of fact, the scripture, 1 Peter, talks about the manifold grace of God, that it's many layered, that it's multi-layered, that it's got many different facets. And dimensions, and the grace of God is probably, there's probably more levels of grace and kinds of grace than we can imagine. Amen. Amen. And God is able to make all of this abound in our life, but He says, first, I want you to give. You've got to step out of the boat. You've got to be willing to get out and give of yourself. And it's only when you trust, when you walk in this faith that's been given to you, that the grace, that you really begin to stand in the grace, and it really begins to abound in your life. And God gets involved in all that and says, I'm going to make it abound. I'm going to cause it to be poured out in you in greater measure for more to do with, so you can do more. I want you to be able to do. And we stand back and we think, man, I just can't. I'm not able. And what would I do if I was going to do? Just do something. Just start somewhere. You know, really, the church really ought to be about enabling people to do ministry. Sometimes we think, you know, ministry ought to start with the elders. They should tell us what to do, and then we'll do it. Maybe. If we like it. But really, it should be the other way around. Ministry should be starting. It should be birthing. It should be coming out of your desires and how God's working in you and what you're feeling like you ought to do. Maybe it's a mentoring program. Maybe it's maybe it's teaching kids. Maybe it's doing, you know, something with senior adults or whatever it might be. God is working in us, and really, we ought to be enabling people and supporting people and saying, "Yeah, we'll be there. We'll help you, provide you resources, whatever you need. Let's get this ministry started. Let's do it." Because when we start, God's going to provide. He always has. He always does. He always will. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "But He gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." Doesn't that verse really say to us that God will withhold His grace if we get prideful? If we think it's about us and about our inability, and I can't do that because I don't have and I'm not. Isn't that really pride? Isn't that about us? It's clothed in humility. It's like I'm humbling myself. I'm not able. I can't do it. Oh, woe is me. But it's really, I'm not going to go out there and do that because I don't think I can. Because I'm not. I, me. And God's saying, what about me? What about my grace? What about the invitation that I'm extending to you, that I will be with you? Hasn't He always been with you? Through everything that you thought that you couldn't do, didn't He show up and show out? Amen. He's so good at that. He just has a way of helping us through every difficulty, every storm, and being there just at the right time with just what we need. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So He wants to show the exceeding riches of His grace. He wants to show it to us in kindness. In our relationship with Christ, as we walk in Christ Jesus, as we stand in that grace, as we're willing to step out in that grace. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In other words, He just said, by grace you have been saved through faith, but that faith, it was a gift of God also. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works," for ministry. Would you agree with that? For ministry. For every Christian has been created in Christ Jesus for ministry, which He prepared beforehand for you to walk in it. There is a ministry for you. There is a ministry for each one of us. God wants to use each one of us. He's prepared a path for you and for you and for you and for me. He's prepared a path for each one of us. And that path is filled with His grace and all of the ability and every tool we'll ever need to accomplish whatever it is He's calling us to do. And all He's asking us to do is to step out. Will you come out into the deep water with me? Will you walk out into these healing waters? Will you walk out into these life? Come out here where we can swim together. Let's get out here and let the current take us. And let's go with His grace. This morning, I'm going to ask musicians to come and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And what I want to ask you this morning is, are you ready to step out of the boat? Are you ready to step out and go from that ankle deep grace out into that waist deep grace? Are you ready to get out there into that place where He's got you? Now, I don't know what may be going on in your life today, but I know this. He says that we can come to the throne of grace, and there's help in time of need. So I know that whatever's going on in your life, there's help. There's an answer. And it's found in Christ Jesus. It's found in that peace-giving relationship with Almighty God, and He's inviting you to come out into the grace with Him. So I want to invite you to come this morning as we stand and sing. Would you stand? We thank You, Lord, this morning for Your abundant grace, Your most awesome mercy and great love. Lord, lead us from this place in the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we may walk with You in this grace, that we may step out into the deep places, trusting You. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.